Well, hey there, everybody. Welcome to Cambridge Inside Out. This is very unusual in that I'm actually here by myself, at least for the start. I'm expecting to see Patrick Barrett show up shortly. But he's actually at an ordinance committee hearing where he's representing a client. So, but hopefully that will end pretty soon and we'll see him. So what I'd like to do to start out here today is just to make a special note of the passing of my very dear friend and former mayor, Sheila Russell. This happened a couple of weeks ago. I wanted to say a few things about Sheila. Of all the people I've known who's actually served in the position of mayor, I mean, she's heads above the rest in terms of my personal favorites, people who I got along with the most, and also for the amount of time I actually spent in the mayor's office, just because I knew so many of the people who were working out of, in those days. It was funerals are sad events, but there were also times for reunions. So I had an opportunity to reconnect with my very, very dear friend, David Good, who we were involved in recycling together many years ago. He was also the campaign manager for Sheila Russell's city council campaigns, I believe all of them. And his brother Kenny was the campaign manager for Lenny Russell, who was Sheila's husband, who was also mayor of Cambridge. It was very, very good seeing Kenny as well as David, and meeting so many friends from recent days as well as long ago. It was actually a pretty exciting thing. There are a couple of things I wanted to mention about Sheila Russell that maybe people don't know and should know, I would say. First off was that back around 1993, David and I would go to meetings of what was then called the Fair Ballot Alliance of Massachusetts. We were interested in promoting proportional representation elections, in places other than Cambridge. One of the things that grew out of that, David's interest in the elections was already there, but it really increased. He even wrote a master's thesis on, about the different choices of quota in proportional representation elections. And it was actually an order from Sheila Russell to the city council, submitted to the city council, asking to look into the feasibility of the computerization of Cambridge's PR elections. So for those who think it was sort of part of the left wing or the progressive wing, no, it was an independent. Sheila Russell was the one who put in the order, no doubt influenced by David's desires to make proportional representation elections more exportable to other cities in the United States and elsewhere. And then that actually led to there was a report that came back about the feasibility. It led to programmers actually writing the software we still use today. There were some modifications made eventually, but let it be known, it was actually the initiative of Sheila Russell that got us moving in that direction. And it's not that Sheila disliked having the old style count at the Longfellow School. All of us really loved having that. And actually many of us, when I was on the technical working committee for the computerization of the elections, really wanted to preserve those traditions, but I guess it was just not to be. So people should give credit to Sheila for that. Another thing that's of some great significance is interesting. I found some of these reports here around the house the other day. Is the original report here looking into the possibility of creating a citywide senior center. There were some facilities around the city, but there was a report here called the Senior Center Role in the Service of Cambridge Elders, prepared for City Councilor Sheila Russell for the City of Cambridge by David Good. So never lets the grass grow under his feet, always busy. And within a year, that actually led to the report that was on the Senior Center proposal, which is actually to located in the building it is in today. And for those that don't know that, it was actually almost by accident that that building became the primary choice. It was a woman, I believe her name was Hetty Poschus, who just pointed out to David and Sheila and others that, in fact, I think she came to a city council meeting, in fact, and pointed out that the building across the street from City Hall was actually available. It was up for sale, right? So, you know, so the combination of the initiative from Sheila and David and the Council on Aging, coupled with this opportunity of the building being available, is really how we came to have the Citywide Senior Center, which I might also add is where they do the PR count now too. Again, another initiative from Sheila Russell that it really came to be that way. So anyway, the last I would say about it is that for those who didn't know Sheila, she was one of the most likable people, had the brightest wit of anybody I think I've ever known passing through City Hall. And even at her funeral, people were telling some of the stories of Sheila, you know, not in a sad way, but in actually a very, very, very nice way. So anyway, farewell to Sheila. But again, I'm very, very grateful for the reconnection to some of my old friends like David. So now what I wanted to do next, and hopefully we'll be joined by Patrick Barrett as soon as his hearing is winds down, is to sort of just do a little bit of a walkthrough of some of what went down in 2022, all right? I mean, as we now we're in 2023, and this is, you know, for those who follow local civics and politics, this is a municipal election year. And oftentimes what actually happens in a municipal election year is somewhat different than happens in an even numbered year, you know, either because people want to, you know, promote themselves for elections, or they want to shy away from certain things that might be harmful for them in terms of re-election possibilities, right? There's a lot of dynamics, even the timing of when zoning petitions and other initiatives are introduced is often guided by proximity to elections. So it's, wish it wasn't that way, but it is that way. So I wanted to just sort of walk through some of the particulars here. I'm going to just share the screen temporarily here, but I'll probably just come back to myself and hopefully soon Patrick as well to talk a little bit about this here. So let me just perhaps here with the screen share, just walk through some of the major events over and above just the city council, though most of this is very much related to the city council related stuff. So let's not forget exactly one year ago today, was when the newly elected 2022 to 23 city council was inaugurated. You know, the COVID count story seems to be a little bit better these days, but this was actually in the height of the Omicron wave, you know, which was really the biggest and worst wave of the entire coronavirus epidemic. And they actually had to meet because there was still prohibitions or limitations on having too many people indoors. They actually met at Starlight Square in Central Square on a freezing cold day. And you know, went through the formalities of the inauguration as well as the election of Sumbul Siddiqui, re-election as mayor, and Alana Mallon as the vice chair. I don't think there was a whole lot of controversy about it. I might even say people probably were just eager also to just get in out from out of the cold there. But later that month, I think something very, very significant happened, which was the naming by city manager Louis DePasquale of Christine Elo as the successor to Branville Bard as the police commissioner. So she became the first woman police commissioner. And many of us had really felt all along that she was a really good choice, really the most obvious choice for to be the next commissioner. So that happened in January. I think that was very, very significant. But another thing that really characterized 2022 in a rather significant way, other than just bike lanes and controversies such as that, was the retirement of City Auditor Jim Monagle, City Clerk Anthony Wilson, he had actually announced his retirement several months prior to the year beginning, and also the retirement of Louis DePasquale as City Manager. There are only three positions that the City Manager, the City Council directly hires, and all three of them, in a rather unprecedented way, all came up within really the same period of months. In fact, their replacements were chosen within basically a month of each other. So it was City Auditor Jim Monagle and City Clerk Anthony Wilson, and then the DePasquale. And that led to a rather extended process I'll just mention after they did the appointments to the City Council subcommittees. But the government operations is traditionally tasked with crafting the process for these hirings. And that was no different this year. This time, though, it was Alana Mallon was in the chair. And that, to some degree, shaped the process. And, you know, and sometimes it's when it's just the reappointment of a city manager, the process is relatively simple. But in this time, and especially with all three of the city council hires soon to be vacant, it was, I guess there was a certain level of immediacy, it's fair to say, to that. So there was a process for selecting screening committees. I believe the delegation for the city clerk and the city auditor role was assigned to some city councilors. There was less of a public process for that. But that process continued on really well into, end of March and into May, and then even into June, right? Fortunately, just to mention on the COVID front, the Omicron wave did die out, so that by the end of February, people were actually able to go into indoor places without masks. So, and thankfully, it's been relatively similar even to this day. It's not like the COVID went away, but it was things are certainly more promising these days. There were other things that needed to be done. There were, for example, in the prior year, in November of the prior year, there were charter changes that were approved by the voters in November of 2021. And there were still some details that needed to be ironed out about how the now mandated annual review of the city manager would take place, how the review of the city charter that was mandated to occur every 10 years would take place, and more. You know, so all of those details had to be ironed out for better or worse. They had to be worked out. Eventually the budget was introduced. There was some controversy, which I think I'll say more about soon enough, about the creation of a new department called the Community Safety Department, which was there was a controversy because there were alternate proposals about how alternatives to uniform police responding to calls should take place. But as the year, as the spring unfolded, we eventually came to settle, the city council did come to settle on a new city auditor, namely Joseph McCann, who was already working within the city clerk's, the finance division office. And city clerk became Diane LeBlanc, and they're both now, they were elected and then, properly interviewed and properly elected and are now serving in those positions. Eventually the city manager process settled down to four finalists, Iram Farouk, Cheryl Fisher, Yian Huang, and Norman Kumalo. And then eventually all four of them were put on stage up at the high school for public meetings on who would be the successor. And then on June 6th, Yian Huang was selected. It was a somewhat contentious vote. There was strong supporters for Cheryl Fisher, but then eventually people essentially closed ranks and gave a almost nearly unanimous vote after things were pretty much settled. And Yan Huang took over. At the time, Owen O'Riordan from Public Works was appointed as acting city manager. Later in the year, he became deputy city manager in a more permanent arrangement. Again, related to some of those charter questions, there was the eventually in July 1st, they did select a 15-person charter review committee to review the charter. Again, it is of my personal opinion that the process was not actually consistent with even with the amended charter, because you should not be making those appointments by four city councilors. Really, it shouldn't have even been done by the city councilors in the first place. They should have reviewed the appointments, but the appointments should have been made by the city manager, in my opinion. And they should have at least been subject to a full council vote on to approve that committee. But whatever it was, right or wrong, those charter review committee was seated. A very, very slow start, but they went about six meetings of pretty much inaction. But in the last two meetings, actually they're meeting right now, there seems to be some promise that they're actually being a little bit more substantial. We had a few rather significant losses to some of the familiar faces we would often see at City Hall, specifically our good friend Peter Valentine passed away in the summertime, and Ellie Yarden, who was a very interesting man who I always got along with just fine. As just sort of winding down generally here, and then I'll step out, some of the biggest issues that were floating around the city and just continue to float around the city were things like the bike lanes and dedicated bus lanes of North Mass Ave. Eventually, also some changes to Garden Street with separated bike lanes and switches to one-way operation, and also some changes on Brattle Street. And there, of course, are more to come. At the same time, Inman Square was being reconfigured, and I believe next up would be Hampshire Street. So I don't believe this is an issue that's going to be going away anytime soon. Something I think I'd like to highlight is that, and it is actually related to some of the bicycle infrastructure changes, was that I've been arguing for 20 years, quite honestly, strange as that may sound, that the traffic board, which was actually mandated under a special act of the state legislature, should have continued and been seated, and it would have been involved in many of these decisions over the last 2.5 decades. But somehow the city just conveniently neglected to actually have it. But eventually our new city manager, I believe correctly, finally realized that in fact this was a real problem and the city did need to correct it. So in fact, he sent out a word seeking members to the new Cambridge, to revitalize the Cambridge Traffic Board. Now that, and there were many other invitations for people to apply to various boards and commissions. But in fact, I think I'll sort of step out of here right now for this. Those appointments finally came. I think it's fair to say that outgoing manager Louis DePasquale basically waited on many appointments until there was a new city manager. And then the city manager, in addition to seeking applicants for the traffic board, then also sought applicants for various other boards. And those appointments have not yet been made, but they are pending. And I think it's fair to say that many of us are kind of looking forward to see just how the city manager actually carries out this responsibility and how the newfound, under the revised charter, the newfound power or authority of city councilors to review such boards, board and commission appointments takes place. Will it be a politicized process? Or will the city manager consult with city councilors to make sure that appointments are all politically acceptable before even making appointments? Will the city manager simply choose the best possible candidates and then let the chips fall where they may? All this is, you know, I guess this is what 2023 has in store for us, is to see how that plays out. So that's definitely coming, right? So now, again, there are many things that were happening citywide. Actually, I think I mentioned one thing right up front now, only because I think it's so significant. It was our Cambridge water supply. There was some challenges made because of there were detections of so-called PFAS chemicals in the water, which are, even though in microscopically barely measurable amounts, there are some potential dangers to having them in the water supply. So we actually went offline and went on to MWRA water for some period, and then, you know, came back within a month or so, a couple months. I went back onto our Cambridge water after they had changed out the filter media, which was planned. And then we are now at non-detectable levels of PFAS. One of the things that I found very interesting when speaking to the people who are actually the operations managers of the water department was that, in fact, the changing out of the filter media did not involve any new filter media other than the same filter media we've always used. It's just that we'd never actually replaced it in the 20 plus years that we've been operating the water treatment plant. And some may think that that's strange or problematic, why didn't we change it in 20 years? It's because it actually performed really well. It's just that it was not sufficiently, the medium was just not quite up to the task of catching the PFAS contaminants in the water. So they have 6 beds, they replaced 2, and already they were down at nearly non-detectable levels. They replaced another 2 of the beds, so they're up to 4 now, and they really should be at pretty much zero level right now, better than MWRA water. And they'll also be changing out the remaining 2 filter beds. And so the question then is how will it, you know, what will be the procedure in the future? How often should the swapping out of the filter media actually take place? But, you know, water is something we all use. So I have to put that in a sort of a significant event of the year. There are some people like Councillor Zondervan who still are, I think, wrongheadedly convinced that we should be getting off of Cambridge's own water supply and going on MWRA. But I think the people at MWRA would strongly object to the fact that we would be basically being reliant on them forevermore. I mean, there are a lot of communities that use MWRA water, and it's not an unlimited supply. So anyway, so those are some things of significance during the year. I think it's fair to say that the bike lane controversies and what should be done about that, and some of the ramifications of the so-called bicycle safety ordinance and the rigid timelines has sort of inflamed a lot of passions. I think that's fair to say. What I'd like to do next, and also continue into the next half hour, and again, hopefully be joined by Patrick in doing so, is to be a little bit more focused just on some of the goings on up at City Hall. It's specifically City Council actions and, you know, the City Council meetings. So the year, as I said earlier, began with inaugurations and such like that. But up at the City Council, there were other initiatives, like there was a proposed moratorium for the alewife area, which was later adopted with some revisions. The question of what's to happen up at alewife is basically something that's been tossed around for quite a few years, and I found it rather interesting that only when properties actually changed hands that it actually became suddenly an emergency where they had to do something, even if that something was simply to stop anything from happening for a year, right? Other things that have happened, and that was in just in January of this past year, was the beginning of the whole city manager search process. And perhaps the biggest outrage of the year, arguably amongst many, was a proposal from several city councilors to actually repurpose the Fresh Pond Golf Course. Now, I should be a little clear, that didn't necessarily mean getting rid of golf on the golf course, but it meant doing other activities there. And there were even proposals, perhaps championed primarily by city council, newly minted city councilor Burhan Azim, who seemed to think that in fact building high density housing up on the site was a wise use of the land. That matter was quickly derailed. And there's still some fact-finding related to it. It continues to this day, but it became quite clear that in fact, it wasn't even legal to do with some of what was proposed there, right? But again, so in the very beginning part of the year, it was pretty much the golf course, the cycling safety ordinance and the ramifications that were probably the biggest flashpoints. But then we settled in and started, probably fair to say, transitioning toward the search process for city clerk, city manager, city auditor. There was one rather strange period where there were a lot of board appointments, I think I'll come out and speak to this here, made by Louis DePasquale, which were then just tabled, and they just sat around on the table for a couple of months while the city councilors twiddled their thumbs trying to figure out what their process was going to be for how to review board appointments. But eventually, a couple months later, all of them were approved. So anyway, I'm going to take a break here now for 3 minutes, but we'll be back shortly on Cambridge Inside Out.